Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to meet a woman who is uniquely identical to everyone else. What are you talking about? This is Wretched Radio. It is so common these days for the unbelieving world to be syncretistic. I'll take a little bit of this worldview. I'll take a dollop of that worldview. I'll put it into one dish. Voila, it is my unique worldview. That is so common these days. And so every single person who is an atheist has a uniquely identical worldview. What makes it identical is it's syncretistic. What makes it unique is everybody's concoction is different from everybody else's. And that is true with Julia, the Roman Catholic nihilist. There's a combo platter for you. What I appreciated the most about this young lady is that she was not being consistent with her worldview. I believe that the nihilistic worldview, there is nothing, there's no purpose, there's no reality, there's no truth, there is nothing that we can cling to as being absolute. That is the natural, I think, honest conclusion of atheism. And it is a super bleak worldview. And yet, Julia was quite pleasant, which I appreciated. So she wasn't consistent with her worldview. She wasn't really believing it. She was ascribing to it, but she was demonstrating she wasn't living it. And we should be grateful for that. Sadly, however, I do believe this worldview of smashing together everything as your own valid truth because there is absolutely no truth, it does lead to a depressed, nihilistic worldview. And I think you will hear that coming out of Julia, because if she really thinks this through, she'll recognize that her feet are firmly planted in midair. And she is living a life that is so conflicting. Increasingly, I am persuaded this is a key component in the suicide and depression rates that we see in university students these days. And you are going to hear that. Prepare to meet Julia, the Roman Catholic nihilist, who can't even tell me clubbing small children to death is wrong. Now, think about that for a moment. Put yourself in her Birkenstocks for a moment. How would you feel about being forced to say that clubbing a small children could be okay in some society because you have been told by academia there is no truth? Because intuitively you know that's just not right. No time, no place, no circumstance could that possibly be correct. And yet I have to tell somebody who asks me about it, no, I can't tell you that that's absolutely true. Imagine the consternation. You are going to hear that clearly in Julia the nihilist.
I want to go to a different part of your brain.
Okay.
I want to go to the area of your conscience. Now, you and I, we were talking before.
Yes.
We're talking now. How many times have you brought up religion?
Probably a good bit, but that is because I've
at least a dozen.
That's because I have my qualms with the religion.
That's what, how many times have I brought up religion?
None.
I'm going to now. All right. I am now going to try a religious conversation addressing your conscience, not your intellect center,
okay,
not your frontal lobe. I want to get to that courtroom in your brain,
okay,
and see what this elicits from you. All right. Morality, laws. Let's just say, because we've got absolute morality, like murder, we agree that's wrong. Rape, it's wrong. Lying, it's wrong. Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Okay. So you've done something that's wrong.
But who's to say it's wrong?
I think your conscience tells you it's wrong, right?
Again, this is the whole thing with being slightly nihilist. I don't claim I'm a full nihilist, but
I know, but now you're getting into that reason and logic part. I'm pulling the microphone. I told you I was going to pull the microphone away, didn't I?
Yes.
All right, because I want to stick with your conscience, all right? Hating somebody, being angry at somebody. Have you ever felt that way, like a jerk driver, an idiot on campus? Okay. So not a nice thing, right? Okay. What about desiring things that don't belong to you? Like, that guy has that, but I should have it. I want that instead.
I actually have that camera, but
all right. So you don't want that camera, but you know what word is coveting.
No, I understand, and I know you're talking about all the Ten Commandments right now.
Good on you, Catholic. Very good.
I didn't lose everything that I was taught in school, but I mean, again, I know you're trying to avoid the logic, but who am I to say what is right and wrong? Who am I to tell others what is right and wrong? I may have my own beliefs about what is right and wrong, and it may not line up with yours. Yeah. That is just how I see it.
Okay. The question, though, is what realm are you addressing? If we're talking about going to Dairy Queen, you think the chocolate cone is better. I like the one with the crunchy things on top, and I say that's better. Yeah. Those are preference issues.
Yeah.
But there are areas of thinking that are either true or false. Clubbing a small child to death, we can agree that's wrong, right?
I mean, I don't agree with doing that, but I can't objectively say that's wrong.
Really?
I mean,
isn't Julie, honest, though. Yeah, I know, but isn't this? I know the nihilism, you don't want the objective truth, but isn't there something inside of you that goes, okay, that's just always wrong no matter where you are?
That, I believe, is due to empathy and how we've evolved to have a greater sense of empathy in the past. But if you also look at groups like ISIS and whatnot, what they're doing, they believe it's right.
Is it?
I can't answer to that.
Yes, you can.
I don't agree with it. I don't have to agree with something for it to be what's right for someone else.
Flying an airplane into a building while people are still drinking their Starbucks in the morning. Come on. We can say that's wrong.
I know you're just trying to get me tongue twisted because you don't want
to. I'm pleading with you to let that thing inside of you that realizes there is just some stuff that's bad.
I could say yes, but again, that's my opinion, so it's objective.
I want to take you now to the courtroom of God's justice.
Okay. Right,
Bible quote for you. First one. Mm-hmm. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then judgment. Bible says we die. Mm-hmm. We stand before God, who's a righteous, holy judge. And he opens up those Ten Commandments on you, and he's been an eyewitness to everything you've done, said, thought. The books cannot be fudged. He knows it all. Would God find you, Julia, innocent or guilty of keeping the laws?
I would say innocent of some, but guilty of others. I try to be the best person that I personally believe I can be and what I believe is good. But everyone has their wrongdoings, that's for sure. But to them, it may be right. I'm going to keep circling back to this.
But no, let me just to maybe bring some clarity to it. Mm-hmm. Imagine the police came, put you in handcuffs because they had all the video of you speeding constantly on the freeway. Okay.
Okay.
They bring you into the courtroom and the judge says, look, the speed sign was posted right there. You knew that it was 55. There you are doing 90 again. We've got the videotape. You are guilty. Would you say, well, that's just your subjective opinion, sir?
But
you'd go to jail.
Yeah, because in this case, it is a law written by humans, and so you kind of need to follow this because it's for other safeties. And yes, that's the same thing with a lot of morality. I understand that.
Yeah.
But
now I think we might be getting someplace. The whole idea of truth and morality. The only reason that you're speeding when you're driving down the freeway is because the authority has said you will go this fast and no faster. Mm-hmm. If there were no signs, you can drive as fast as you want to, right?
You could, yes.
So it takes an authority to make the proclamation, this is what is legal, this is what is illegal. I agree with you. If there were no objective authority, this is all preference, and we should eat, drink, and be merry, because we're just going to die and become worm food.
Yeah.
But God, the creator, which we intuitively know exists. We look at the creation. We conclude there's a creator. We've got a conscience that tells us I've done wrong and that I'm guilty and that death might not be the best thing for me because I might have to deal with the consequences of my behavior. The objective judge has determined lying, stealing, cheating, sexism, racism, wrong, wrong, wrong. He's the one who makes things right and wrong, and we either adhere to his standard or we don't.
It's just the problem is all of this is a matter of opinion and perception.
Well, that's why I'm trying to avoid the logic and reason with you a little bit. My earnest question is, Julia, let's just say we see courts, we see police, we see laws, we see justice. I would tell you those ideas come from outside of us. God is just. He has laws, and he has a courtroom, and he's going to deal with criminals. And there's something inside of us that goes, you know what, I'm a guilty criminal.
Time out right there. Julia, the Roman Catholic nihilist, her worldview, it is as thick as a dense fog. Adrian Barbeau wouldn't want to walk into that fog. How do you clear it? How do you get through a syncretistic worldview that is bleak indeed, that won't even allow you to say clubbing small children is always wrong in all times, all places? How do you do that? Next. On Wretched Radio.
Conflict. That's not an if in your life, that's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is Scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Should Christians drink? What about tattoos? Is it okay to send your kids to public school, or does homeschool make you holier? And don't even get started on worship styles. That's ended more friendships than Monopoly. Here's the thing. Christians love to argue about stuff the Bible doesn't actually command or forbid. And when we do, we fracture over things that shouldn't divide us. That's where Christian Liberty comes in. It's a teaching series with Todd Friel, Phil Johnson, and Ty Blackburn, all walking you through one of the most neglected and most misused doctrines in all of Scripture. And when you actually understand Christian liberty, you stop majoring on minors. You learn to disagree without dividing, you grow in wisdom and maturity, and have genuine love for other believers who see things a little bit differently than you do. Christian Liberty, it's streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Just download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1830.
Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No wonder why the kids are depressed. This is Wretched Radio. Going to conclude my conversation with Julia, the Roman Catholic nihilist, who couldn't tell me beating a small child to death with a club is always wrong at all times in all places. Why? Because academia, postmodernism, has told her there is no valid truth, and yet there's something deep inside of her that says, oh yes, there is. No wonder why the kids are so confused, lost, and depressed. How do you cut through that fog? You use the power of the equipment that God has provided for you, the sword of the word. Leave the realm of academia and head to the hills into the realm of the conscience.
I want to go back to your Roman Catholicism.
Okay.
Humor me for a moment. Let's just say you're standing before God, mm-hmm. you are a guilty criminal, and he's about to slam the gavel and sentence you eternally to heaven or to hell. As a Roman Catholic, what you learned, I know you don't believe it, but what you learned, what would you use to get out of it?
Confession. Admitting to your sins, asking for forgiveness, and then the word for your penance. I mean, that's...
You have to do stuff?
Yeah.
All right, but let's say it's too late. It's sentencing day.
Then oops, you're going to hell.
All right. So is there, I want to give you time on this. Is there anything from your Roman Catholic background that would cause you to go, wait a second, it doesn't have to be that way?
Not that I recall.
It's fair enough. Okay, let me try this. You brought up some things that you might say is a criminal could get you up. Judge, I've done some good things.
Yeah.
A judge goes, well, I'm glad you did, but it has nothing to do with your guilt. You could say, Judge, I'm sorry. And he's going to say, you should be sorry, but that doesn't get you off the hook. So if we can't do those things with an earthly judge, but it doesn't seem we can do it with the heavenly judge.
But with an earthly judge, some people just get probation. Some have community service. It's still a form of penance.
Sure. I understand. There's varying crimes and situations. But let's say somebody who's broken law after law after law, the judge goes, that's it. You're getting sentenced. You're guilty. You must pay the fine, and off you go. Wouldn't that be the case with God, unless there's something you remember from the Roman Catholic Church or the Bible that would provide a provision for you? Anything?
One could say not committing it in the first place.
Sure, being innocent.
Yeah.
Being perfect. But we've already concluded that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not.
All right, so here's what I think the Bible says. Mm-hmm. The bad news is you and I should go to hell. We should. Mm-hmm. That's what God should do. If he's just, look, I've lied more than you have stolen. God has a laundry, because he even gets into the brain. He says lust is like adultery of the heart.
Yeah.
You're mad at somebody. It's like murdering somebody inside, not, you know, killing them, but inside. And he's going to open up the books. He should condemn us all. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see if you can finish this thought. But God has provided a way for your fine to be paid so that justice can be satisfied and you can be set free as a forgiven criminal. What has God done for you to save you from judgment?
Made you pay money like they used to do in the old times of church?
No. No.
I mean, I'm going back to the 15th, 16th century where before... Martin Luther. Yeah, Martin Luther, where they, I can't recall the correct term for...
Indulgences.
Yes, indulgences, where they paid. And
Yeah. No, that's not it. No, God's not going to be bribed, but he has provided a way for you to be forgiven. Okay, when we look at the laws, you caught on to that real quick. You just picked up on that. Okay, the Ten Commandments, that's the bad news. The standard to get into heaven is perfection. We break the laws. And even if you only broke one, which you don't, it's like, think of a plate of glass. And if there were 10 numbers painted on the glass, you throw the rock through the number 5, the whole thing shatters because now you're a lawbreaker.
Yeah.
All right. We're lawbreakers. We deserve God's wrath, but he's rich in mercy and he's provided a way for your fine to be paid, but not by simply letting you go, because that would make him unjust. Instead, you remember the Trinity?
Yeah.
What is the Trinity?
Are you talking about like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Exactly. All right. Three persons, yeah. One God. The Son, Jesus Christ.
Are you talking about, I'm assuming you're maybe trying to go to original sin, and are you trying to go to the point of Jesus dying on the cross to forgive people of their original sins?
All of their sins.
I mean, it's hard. I had a point earlier in my head that I forgot.
Okay, but that's the good news. See, here's the issue. If God just says, oh, criminals, go ahead, be set free, he's unjust. And that's not what God's character is. So his payment is Jesus took the punishment you deserve so that your sins, all of them, can be forgiven. You can be set free. You can be made just. And God is justified in doing that because Jesus satisfied justice. That's the gospel. What I presented to you, Julia, is either true or false. It's not a preference thing. I would love it if you would say to me, sir, you are wrong, or you're right. But don't say it's just a preference, because either Jesus lived, died, and rose from the grave to forgive sinners, or he didn't.
Well, what about Judaism, where they believe he's just a disciple or another prophet? I think, if anything, that is the most logical way to go about believing in Jesus.
But Jesus didn't consider himself just a prophet. So he would differ with those Jewish people, and he battled them all the time to make it clear he was actually God.
How do we know that? We're going through books that were written years ago, and they could have been false. They could have been folk tales. They could have been through the translations of them, translations. They could have been misinterpreted.
Here, let me share with you a field of study you might not be familiar with. It's called textual criticism. People take a look in archaeology. They take a look at manuscripts, whether it was Julius Caesar, whether it was the Bible, it doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. And they've got standards and criteria for determining how accurate these books are.
Yeah.
Now, just give me this for a second, and then I'll give you something.
Okay.
The Bible that we have in our hand is exactly the book that was written 2,000 years ago. That's just, it's undeniable. But that doesn't mean it's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's accurate, but the question is it true? So here's a thought for you to ponder. 500 people claimed they saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And those people were killed for that belief, and they never recanted. If somebody was pulling a scam, mm-hmm. you're going to get somebody to go, okay, look, somebody just told me they made it up, and don't kill me. They were all willing to die because they saw the resurrected Savior. Your proof is found in the Bible, with all of the miracles, all of the prophecies, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, you've been patient, so I want to try to plant a seed. Because look, you're a nice young lady, and I know you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You're right. Your worldview it is bleak. All right, The worldview that I'm describing for you, it is hopeful. But not because it just makes you feel good, but because it's true. So I can't twist your arm.
Yeah.
I can't club you with my microphone, because that would be wrong, right?
To say.
Yes, it would. It would be wrong. But would you at least think about this?
Yes, I will. I mean, this is a conversation I'm very familiar with, that I've had before with friends. So it's not anything new.
Right.
We discuss it and think about it. And like I said, I have a religious family, so I know how to think from both sides.
Yeah.
And it's dialectic. It's two truths. Like, again, we'll never know which one is the correct truth.
My encouragement is, two truths that are diametrically opposed can't both be true.
Then what do you have to say about like DBT therapy and the studies, and like a Socratic discussion is dialectic. It's two truths. It's like having your emotional and rational. That is all what DBT therapy is. It's dialectical behavior therapy. So I think two truths can exist together.
Yeah, the studies on DBT aside, all right, if I believe this is a car in my hand and you believe it's a microphone. Look, one of us is right or both of us are wrong, but we can't both be right. Fair enough?
Fair enough in that sense, but that is, again, something you can induce. It's complicated.
All right. Okay, but I've appealed to your conscience.
Yes.
I've appealed a little bit to your intellect and to reason and logic. I think that you know God exists because the Bible says that knowledge is just built into you.
Right.
And eternity is written in our hearts. We know there's more to life than this. So I'm just trying to stir that up inside of you, cause you to think about it. And maybe, just maybe, if your conscience troubles you and you think, if I had to face God, he must be awfully big because this is a big, big universe.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in big trouble. But Jesus was willing to die for me. No greater act of love has ever been shown to anybody. And he's willing to forgive you and save you and adopt you and have you inherit eternal life. It is the greatest offer ever. So if you ever get to that point, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's available to you till you take your last breath. But if you wait, there's no purgatory. You'll face God, and he is the one with whom you must do. So I'd encourage you, do business with him now rather than waiting until it's too late. Fair enough?
Fair enough, but I do not. I probably will not follow that.
All I can do is share it with you. You have been very kind.
And she has been the perfect example of the confusion that is produced from the postmodern syncretistic worldview. Pray for Julia. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.